council meeting. Greg Freed is going to join us late, if at all, so we can go ahead and get started. We'll go ahead with the Pledge of Allegiance. John?
Our Pledge of Allegiance is in the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I'm just going to remind everybody that we have masks on, but this is recorded, so try and speak up so everybody can hear you if we can get it recorded. So we will recognize visitors in the audience. Paul, you're here first, so why don't you go first?
Okay. How do you want me to address the group?
Just
from here?
At the council comment, Elliot.
Okay. There are four issues that I think that I've noticed that should be considered considered by the board, and that is the signage that we have, do not park here. There's all kinds that we have that are tired, really tired, and they need to be replaced.
Are you talking about the wood signs with the yellow painting inside the gates?
No, I'm talking outside. Yes, like sign that says down to 25 mile an hour, and below that it'll say no parking here. You can't even read it.
Okay.
But if you start driving around at all the different signs, I'm sorry, at all the different signs we have, it is it needs to be. They're tired.
Yeah, Aaron, didn't Fred look into some signs when Ben was there, and they were pretty fancy. I don't know if we need to go that fancy. I think they lit up and.
Yeah, I don't think we need.
No,
to
I'm not talking about lining up or anything. I'm just talking about.
Yep.
Just the regular old signs. They need to be replaced, and maybe the posts need to be replaced. That's not rusted, and be able to put those down.
Well, and associated with that, I know that last year there was, and I guess it wouldn't have been, it wasn't approved by the Q Inc. board, there was a whole signage initiative, a big signage initiative. So when you had brought this up, it seemed like we would, you know, we would all be kind of falling under this signage thing. And then I guess it never, you know, Dean?
Before my time.
So, I mean, have you heard of that?
Yeah, that's my common line right now.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know anything about that, the sign initiative that may have taken place prior.
But these are all outside of the gate.
Okay.
And you go up Renner, go up Holiday, and then go up Carrera.
I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
And you just need to go, you know, as a person, you just have to have an eye and just say, does it need to be replaced or not, and get an inventory so that you know what to do. The second issue, I've already heard that you're working with Wyandotte County on the guardrail at Holiday Drive and Renner.
Correct.
I just think that's a safety issue.
Yeah, definitely a safety issue. So we're appreciative that they did the repair, but obviously now we're concerned about the guardrail.
That's on Holiday. If you go to Holiday and Renner.
Oh, Holiday and Renner.
And if you go to the southeast corner, you have one good guardrail, and you have one that is just. To be honest with you, a hazard is that it's almost falling in to the ditch.
Okay.
So it's not the main one.
Gotcha.
The other one. Steve Sessick said, and it's the little things that matter. And I think that's really true. The maintenance of the gasoline island, it's filthy dirty. It's not been maintained that I can see. I don't know what your contract is or anything, but it needs to be looked at and fixed.
Yeah.
Not fixed, but I go to Costco, it's clean, everything's there. I go here, it's an embarrassment, especially after our new signage and everything is up.
Yeah, it's been frustrating for us, especially just simple as emptying the trash cans, because how many times you go down there and they're completely full. So this has been an ongoing discussion with Terry Press. This is quite frankly one of the reasons that the city is looking into operating that. He's got a really good sweetheart deal, in our opinion and research. Dave McCullough's been looking into that. But you know, as you know, we're paying for all sorts of repairs for the pumps and all sorts of stuff.
And then, when's your contract up?
It's an annual renewal that re-ups every January 1st, but there's a 90-day notice to get out of it.
Take them out.
Yeah, and I wouldn't phrase it so antagonistically, because he does a lot of good work for us. The gas station island does look terrible, and we actually have bids at hand to tear out all the concrete, fix the downspout, wrap it in nice stainless steel. So that is something we've discussed within the last year, is how to do that. And as Brady alluded to, bringing the management of it in-house, we pay for everything for it. We pay for all the insurance, all the management upkeep. If we were to generate, if we were to bring in some of that revenue from that, then it could be something that, you know, we could pay for a lot of those upgrades that you're talking about.
He pays rent to you guys?
Yeah. It's not much. I mean, like you said, it's a sweetheart deal, but I wouldn't kind of categorize him as someone who's not doing his job.
Well, I'm just saying, from the, as a citizen, I don't think it meets our standard.
I agree.
Of what we should have there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Lastly, we have a lot of cities around us that are getting rid of what I call institutional lighting, big poles, you know, and Merriam and Mission, just around here, but also at other cities, they're getting away from the institutional lighting and putting some other type in. And I think that would help enhance, again, our city. And I would also like to see, and I know this is probably, I don't know where your line is, but it's inside the gate going up the hill. You should have, I think, lights with baskets on it that would really make it a nice entrance into Corvera, Lake Corvera. Now, that might not be under your purview.
No, I think some of them are, but going up through the guard gate, that wouldn't be us, correct?
Right.
So we'd have to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would have the influence on Corvera.
Yeah.
Inc. to see that something happens.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about the beauty of our facility, and after the new signage and everything that we've done, I think these things are kind of pulling it back.
Sure.
And that's all I really have is things that I've seen that I think need to be thought about.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, but you know, we've got to kind of decide what projects are most important for us. And
absolutely,
Gail's working on the aesthetics of City Hall, rerouting the parking lot. I agree with you about the gas station. We got that beautiful island that's well landscaped. If we upgrade it, I know the foundation has talked about upgrading the guard shack, the guard house. And so, yeah, I think it's just going to be a collaborative effort. The Lake Bureau Foundation is, talked about bearing power lines, so that's kind of in line with that type of deal, too.
Oh, yeah. Those would be expensive on this one.
Yes, yeah.
Really?
We know that. Yeah. So, yeah, this is something that we can all talk about, and
that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
Just give me my comments.
Yeah.
And on the lights, I believe, are on the list of, because we all had a working session, 5-6 months ago,
yeah.
of different, you know, different big projects and stuff that, things that should be considered. And I believe that that was, because I know I brought the light mm-hmm. up after
we Yeah, we talked about it.
There's just making the priority of...
Mm-hmm. I understand budgeting and cities and that kind of stuff. Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate it, Paul. Does anybody have any other comments?
No, I think that's all right.
Okay. Ellie Colson, how are you doing out there?
Pretty great, man.
Are you just here to observe?
Yes, sir.
All right. Bill, Tom?
How would you like to do this? You guys should have it in front of you. We don't have it on the television, but...
I can get that going. You want me to get that set up?
Just for the three people that they want to watch. Mr. Colson, if we see it. Tom Hague, retired Black and Beecher. Mr. Dam.
Poor Tom.
And amongst many other things that he did. If we can look at this document... Tom's going to interrupt me at any given moment as we go through it. We divided it into three categories dealing with spillway, the dam itself, and then actions and recommendations. If you remember at our last meeting, we were put on a hold on any other work except determining the two spillways and seeing which one would be most effective. That was pending the foundation membership, or excuse me, meeting where our report was at least aired with them. And which direction we would go. And Tom and I are very willing to not do anything else except the spillway work or other things that are more direct. Second, we're not interested in being the designer on the spillway. Foresight Solutions does not have an engineering license. Tom's PE is retired. So all we're getting is brains from him, mm-hmm. but not going to get a document that is something we can design from. So it's the engineers that are involved here, whether it's Olson or it's McClure or it's Black and Beach or whoever, that's still an open field in terms of what has to be done after you get a listen to some of the things Tom was talking about. All right, on the spillway, if I can get you to go to the third page on spillway improvements, that would be good. You got a 100-year-old primary spillway. It passes 40% of the required 6,000 cubic feet per second flood flow, which is based on a 30% PMP, and 30 PMP is...
That's the probable maximum precipitation that could fall on the watershed.
Here. That's an accepted standard that says if it rains here, 30% of whatever that max is, you've got to pass it in a certain amount of time. All of this is designed to avoid topping of the road. If I follow that, it's kind of the no-no that you always want to avoid. City plans to spend $1 million. That was my estimates that I had in terms of doing the rest of the work on the old spillway was $1 million. This doesn't fix the traffic and pedestrian issues on the west side of the dam, and the auxiliary spillway is showing signs of concrete deterioration. We've been over and looked at it a couple of times, and there are issues there that still need to be fixed, even if we do fix the existing spillway. One of the things we wanted to make sure we looked at is upgrading the auxiliary spillway to function as both primary and auxiliary. These are things we talked about last time, and using weir gates to do that. Abandon the existing primary spillway. When we say abandon it, we mean as a spillway, not abandoning it in terms of water flow. We can still get water down there to make a waterfall occur, and we can also get it as an emergency exit for some water. But by piping it and covering that, it's almost a no count. It's a rounding error in what you have to get out of the lake during an emergency. But it's okay to still have that. Okay, abandon the existing primary and fill, reconstruct shorelines for improved traffic. What we are pushing as the accepted plan, which we do not have finally done tonight, but that's the direction we're headed, is put a pipe in there in the old spillway, cover it up, and that is existing area that can be used as the city and QHC sees fit so that water can be flown through, moved through there, but it is no longer an accepted spillway. The spillway would be moved to the auxiliary spillway, which would be called the spillway, and it would become the primary and the auxiliary based on information that Tom now has part of, but it also points out another issue we're going to be dealing with. Better lake level control using suggested Osipur weir gates. Now, one of the good things we have is Olson did the Osberger weir gates at the Lawrence power station. There's a power, 1 megawatt power generator on the Kansas River, and Olson was the designer of that. So the people that help us, all that same company, could be engaged to do that kind of work if we get to that point. Design the new spillway project in concert with design of the downstream park. So whatever was decided by the landscape architecture group and this team, then our spillway would tie into that, if the, especially with the auxiliary slash new spillway would be used. Okay, suggested near-term actions, complete the dam survey verification. We have a, you know, I want to call it an error. We have a difference between the Black and Veatch numbers that were shown in 1990-something when they did the updating of the spillway at that particular time, and what McClure, a.k.a. SKW, used on our dam inspection. So we got a three-foot variation in that number. So the first order of business is getting an independent party. The Olson guy who came down here, some of you may have seen him with the post and survey for doing some of the work that Gail was working on and the front entrance. Those types of things, we just need to do it up at the lake and say, this is the number, and then we can work off of that number correctly. Of course, we believe the Black and Veatch number because they did design. And when you're doing a report, you're usually looking back at old ones and using those old numbers. You're not paid to do it again. But we have to verify that to be the case. Determine the amount of demo and structural construction required. I have been in the basement of this young man's facility up on the hill. It's an amazing place. You all need to go there once.
Scary.
But between each of the house plans and the sewer district plans and the road constructions are some fascinating things, such as the seep is exactly where the Arapaho Spring, shown on the Black and Veatch plans in 1941, is located. So what Mike Olson has talked about, where our little seep is probably one of those. Now, it's irrelevant if it's a spring or the lake's leaking. It's water that's deteriorating the dam and requires some action. But if we'd have known that, we'd have had a little bit more time. So shame on me for not getting over there, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that now is the city's property, which occurred in their era before the city, that we need to somehow acquire and put into play into a place where we have it here, which leads to a whole separate thing we'll talk about in a few minutes. Conceptual cost estimates. Basically, that means get Ricky and get McEnany in here, lock him in a room, get a calculator, and figure out what it would take to do whatever he suggests as a conceptual design for the new area. We can't do that till we get the plans that whoever, which we do not know who designed it, Black and Veatch did not, or constructed it in 19, whatever it was, 70 through 75, for the city, not for Q Inc. But the plans are probably in the Q Inc. basement I couldn't find, and they're not here in this building, to see how that plan was constructed. There are a variety of ways you could, but we have to know what that is to figure out how to do our, quote, damage to it, without doing too much damage, so that the bridge is still intact and we can figure out how much water we can get over the dam. So two things we've discovered on the spillway. We've got to know the number that's accurate, that 3 foot difference. And number two, we've got to find those plans. And we can do you can go back and radar it, it's going to cost a fortune. Finding the plans would be better to determine how much work we need to do and how many of those veins that go under the road need to be primary and how many can be secondary. That's kind of the first page. Last one is hire an engineer to do a Q&E on spillway engineering. That's an important distinction. There's one, he was the kid at Black and Veatch when Tom was there. Now he's the grown-up at Black and Veatch that does all of the work on hydrology. And he's probably one of the only ones here in town. So if Olson has that in their shop, we can go there. Cost-wise, that's more effective. But Randy's the guy who's done the two of them here at during his term for this location. He did not have it in all of the work that goes to the caves for Black and Veatch. He had it on the 3.5-inch drive that he had in the left-hand corner of his office, along with 5 million other dams. And Tom was able to locate it and work from those numbers. Correct, Tom?
Right.
Okay. Questions on that? Let's go to the second page if we can. Technical history. This is the scare tactic that all engineers and consultants use. If we're audited by the state, we have a lousy history of what's in that dam. That's not good. And if you ask people in Michigan, whose dam blew up, and pointing fingers at people as to who sues who. Just a for instance, if it breaks in any particular place, who owns the dam? Well, Tom looked up and we own the dam. The city does. But they own all the downstream. Is there paperwork that says, did we buy it from Q Inc.? Was it a gift from Q Inc.? And you get to that level of finger pointing when this railroad track over here is washed out for 6 weeks. Okay, and Santa Fe wants their money. And so we got to think about those kinds of things. We won't get anything out of the city, but they will certainly take care of the rest of us that would matter. Yes?
The question, when you talk about all of this, since we know the dam goes back to 1928, and if we weren't a city until 1971, so are you saying, so prior to all of that,
right.
Who owned the dam then?
That's a great question. And then you go with the... And there are a lot of good lawyers in America. The point I'm trying to get at is that if we had a history of, here's the things we did to it, this work was done. There was a spring put in 1932 above that Arapaho, excuse me, not spring. There was a drain put in the 1930s and again in the 1940s. But then we went from a 1-to-1, the spring is down here, the drains are down here. Now we're 1-to-5. Were those drains extended? Where? Show me.
You're right.
We have no idea. And when was that done? And how plugged are those drains? That's just one example. We need to have a history of, and most well, and this is a very significant dam, most well-executed hydrology projects have the history. It's almost called a design basis. How did we get here? Somebody designed it, then they changed it, they designed it again, they changed it, they designed it again. Whenever that happens, whether it's the rock wall we put on it or the road we put on it. So those kind of things we need to think about. And we can do that, but you don't have to have us do it. Somebody needs to put together the package of here's what this dam's history looks like from a technical point of view. And this is where these things are, whatever these things are.
And yes, one of the bigger issues that I've got involved in is, Gail, you hit right on it. Okay, you bought a dam or you were given a dam. Did you also inherit all the liability for how it was built before you bought it? Or if something goes wrong that was designed back in when Q Inc. owned it, you know, Q Inc.'s predecessor. Who is liable for the, so there just needs to be this history so you all know what your liability is or is not versus any previous owner of that.
And there's no history of a transaction or a bill of sale or
anything. Well, the Wyandotte County AIM, you know, the land survey just shows everything around the dam, downstream of it, and you know, down around the railroad tracks and highway, Holiday Drive, all owned by Q Inc. And there's a sliver that goes across that is the dam. And it doesn't look like it even includes all of the dam. It depends how wide that sliver is. Does it include all of the width of the dam or just portions? So, but there's no records of when that transfer was held. It just says you own this sliver of land.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and please don't take my knock on their basin. It's all, it is fun to go up there. Lots of good history and a lot of neat things. But no, why keep that? There really isn't any other reason that's a significant one except the dam. Because that's the only one that has an enormous amount of risk.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you look at these, we've done an inspection of the Black and Veatch numbers. Tom's done the calculations based on what we know for the auxiliary spillway, and he's got some ideas for what we can do moving forward. But the list of further steps are listed there. Third page, if I can, on the seat. It's still minor. I have not installed the drain yet. It still does not hit that level. I'm going to put a small one in there so we can begin collecting data on it, whether it's a spring or it's a leak. We really don't care. We need to get it fixed. If it's a spring, we need to relieve the pressure with the drain. If it's a leak, we need to relieve the pressure with the drain and monitor both. Basically where we're at. Let's see. If I go to that last page, I know you guys got a lot to deal with, so I don't want to take too much time.
If it's a big leak, not a spring, do you still fix that with the drain, or when do you actually pump concrete up there?
Fire away, Tom.
Sure. The state says that once you can measure more than 10 gallons per minute, then you got to let them know, and then you have to hire an engineer and come up with a remediation plan. It could be just monitoring it. One of the big issues is is the water coming out cloudy or clear? If it's cloudy, then you know you're carrying away some of the earth in the dam. That's not a good thing. You'll have to deal with that right away. If it's just clear water, you know, maybe just monitor it.
So if it is a spring and it's still over 10 gallons per minute, we still have to notify the state?
Yes.
Okay.
As long as you got water coming out of the anywhere beside the foundation of the dam,
okay,
it's an issue.
Okay.
Those drains should have collected all the water at the base of the dam,
right,
and not allowed to get up into the embankment.
So if you go along the edge of the dam where we saw that one drain, that's exactly what should happen.
Yeah.
It's water coming out under a controlled situation.
It's clear.
It's clear. Mm-hmm. The water that's coming out looks clear, but you got to go further than that to determine if it is. We're at our seed spot. So getting it measured, getting it in place, and not reporting it until we have our emergency action plan. So if you go through the list of actions, which is the third set, I'm trying to think of any of these that are important. Getting a conceptual cost estimate for the spillway enhancement on the west, east side, excuse me, the east side, would be kind of the first step. The challenge on my, you know, I promised Dave we have a 200 megawatt generator here.
You
can't do that, I'm teasing. And now I promised John and his kids could run down the water slide that we would have. Another challenge, just because the quantity of water and keeping it maintained. And plus, part of it has to do with how much water we can put at the bottom in that wading pool or pond that would control any type of water in a canal if we wanted to have that. By the way, great pictures. We have had lakes down here for 100 years, 80 years.
Yeah.
There have been lakes on various places down in this area that we no longer have. But it was fun looking at some of the pictures from 29 on,
yeah,
of drawings that occurred. It's our intent that we will get a spillway conceptual plan inside the $10,000 that we talked about that Tom can do based on construction techniques that would get enough water out of the dam based on the numbers that we need. Two things we need to have from you. Number one is okay to get Olson here with an independent party and have them verify elevations so the numbers that Tom works with are correct. That can be an add-on to Gail's contract, and that can be inside the $10,000 if it needs to be. They can work for Foresight to do that and keep it, or however the city wants to do it.
Aaron, how would you like to do that?
I'm assuming since it's dam related and not parking lot related, then it would have to be separate from Gales.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So I will talk to Olson and ask them to please give me a price. It should be under $1,000 to get one guy here with a post and do what he's posted. And we'll put it into our planning and we'll stay as close to that number as we can for Tom's work to get a conceptual design. And then we'll try and sit down with Mr. Ricky and McEnany and just say, okay, well, you're going to take out these 250 feet of concrete, you're going to replace it with, give me the ballpark of what you think it would be, to move it to where it would be at this size. Now, again, one of the benefits is water running through a spillway is a pretty sight, and this is much more in front of it. It would follow the road, wouldn't necessarily have to follow the existing. That's the emergency spillway, is that one that turns left and flows down to the soccer fields.
Yeah.
It could be one that followed the road as it goes back behind. Just a thought in terms of how this would look for as sort of a social feature. Tom, anything else?
No, the only two things that I noticed coming out here is if we did have something terrible happen here, we would really be in a little bit of trouble because if some official asked you where the plans for the dam, you all couldn't show them. And not that you couldn't show them plans that reflect the construction of the dam. You might have 10 different drawings, but you don't have one drawing that says, this is what the dam
right.
is constructed of. That's number one. And then two is having the emergency action plan.
Okay.
Right away where she can find it and give it to people.
Yeah, that seems highly important to me.
And yep. then there should be you should practice that every once in a while. There's a.
We did have an exercise
plan.
Last year
an exercise.
Without a plan.
Did you have an exercise without a plan?
Without a plan, we had a yes, we had an event. But I sat down with Fred and Aaron.
FEMA.
It's a FEMA organized event that occurred. What would you do?
Yeah.
Okay. That's where we're at. There's kind of two ask. Olson, I've got an answer on that one. If it's okay with everybody, and then our progress report is, We have numbers. It looks very feasible that that would be the way to go. And unless we run into a fatal flaw of how it was constructed and the cost is too great. Two or three benefits, the beautification, if you want to call that one, you like flowing water. Second is most of that construction could be done with no effect on the dam, high water or low. And then it's a very small period of time of cutting down the wall that's there and installing a different approach to controlling the flow. And it would be very easy for us to change the level of the lake with that tool than it would be with having somebody monitor the gate.
Gotcha. Okay. So, as you know, the Lake Revere Foundation, we have not hired Kelly Thompson with Olson yet, but he's put a proposal together on that whole area down there. This was before the talk of the auxiliary spillway and getting rid of the main spillway. So your recommendation is still to wait on that until we get answers from you if that auxiliary spillway can work?
Yes, I think that's the case, because if we find that the construction of the auxiliary spillway was haphazard or the design shows enormous cost in terms of removing all of that concrete and starting over, blocking traffic on the road, those kind of things, then we're back to square one. The other thing is, we've got to keep in mind that the rules have changed. It's one of those, just like everything else in life, if you're good with the rules when you did it and you haven't made it into what it should be, you're still okay. That arch that's on the existing spillway, if you pump 12 inches of rain in our valley here, that arch controls the amount of water that gets through that spillway. Now, how do we control that? The emergency spillway, the auxiliary. It makes it work, so we're still okay. But we still have a catastrophic event to where you can't get enough water out of this place. And then if we try and solve it, we're not meeting the conditions that we need to meet in 29 or 40 or 60. We're meeting the conditions in 2020, which are based on a heck of a lot more concrete in our valley, which means more water faster. So it may be where, worst case, we have to do both of them, do something to it, and go back to plan A. Right. We're thinking plan B is what we should be doing now.
Right.
The 1970-something asset versus the 1929 asset. And although Tom was around in 29 and designed it.
Looks like I got a mask on.
You might be costing us more money there, Bill, with your...
You don't want Tom walking out on this.
No.
I was going to say, poor Tom.
No, don't get poor Tom. He's doing fine.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of interest down there with the foundation. I mean, in fact, we raised $7,500 selling rubber duckies for a race.
Yeah.
There's a lot of space down there, a lot of land, a lot of neat things that we can do. So I want to keep this interest going.
Our answer is irrelevant. We're still going to have a waterfall, and we can still
right.
do one or the other,
right.
and we still have to do something with the spillways. Whatever you're doing down there, we can adjust for. Does that make sense?
Well, for, I don't know if you saw Kelly Thompson's proposal.
I did.
But he's got, nothing set in stone, but he's got an artificial turf
yep.
soccer field down there. You know, in the event of a major storm, are we going to get water, rocks?
Understood.
You know.
If he has it in the same place, yes, it is an
right.
issue. If he puts it in the middle place where we,
okay.
again, I hadn't seen Kelly's. I didn't even know that it was existed. But I moved it to a different place, slightly higher ground, further downstream, not in the way of a minor event.
Okay. Check your email. I thought I emailed it to you.
You did. I've looked at
oh,
it.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
I hadn't seen it when I was, sorry, dreaming up with others.
Okay.
We were happy.
Understood. Okay.
So I have a question. So you, someone needs to gather up all this old information. I mean, I'm like, this seems like a huge.
Well, paying Tom and I to do that is probably not cost effective, but the benefit of having Tom, we need that. And we don't need this. But
yeah.
But that's something that has to happen in some way, shape, or form. Or you reconstruct all that information, which means you've got to do things to the dam, you know, ground penetrating radar, expensive stuff in arrears. You can do a lot of great stuff nowadays with a drone and elevations and everything else, but you're only looking at what you can see, not what you can't see. So we got to find the main thing we need is the spillway construction documents from the 70s, 80s when the auxiliary spillway was built. We really don't need anything else in terms of doing our ANSI. This entity, the city, needs the whole history so that we know what's in that dam. Is it earth-filled? Did it put clay in?
Yeah.
Are the drains there?
Who did you say did the design of the...
Pardon me?
Who did you say did the...
Black and... We do not know who did it. Black and Beach did not do the design of that spillway.
They did the chute that goes down from the spillway. Mm-hmm. But somebody, I guess, in the early 70s, I
early say, 70s is when we think that was done.
Now, Bill, you've obviously been helping with us and doing a lot for us. When Ben was on council and replacing the wall on the dam?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously none of this stuff popped up.
Yeah, that's all data, but it doesn't impact us. The wall and all those things that were done was McClure, if I'm not mistaken, or SKW at the time.
SKW.
Those documents exist.
Okay.
I thought they would at least have the GPR.
GPR.
The ground penetrating radar data.
I don't know. I don't know if they... Again, I have those three boxes at home.
Yeah.
That one should at least contain the
ground
penetrating
radar. Well, of our mayors up here,
but
who was the oldest living mayor that surely could have been around at this time, right? Of
I don't know. Well, Pete Heaven is still.
I know no one until Larry. So.
I mean, Pat McEnany is still here, obviously. He might know something. Pete Heaven might. I don't think Tom does.
Because wouldn't that have
all
been
in
the city?
Yeah.
Yeah, Herzog. He was a colleague of ours.
Herzog was in the civil department of Black Beach. And I think we talked. We worked together. He talked about the dam out here. He knows about it. I think he might have been around when he had it overtopping.
In the mid-90s, yeah.
In the mid-90s, yeah.
Still around?
No.
Arizona. Arizona's a place.
But he's still living.
He's still alive.
Yeah, it's Arizona. Yeah.
He might as well be gone. I mean.
I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure we do answer your question.
I don't know. That was
cool. To answer your question, I don't think it'll take that long to go through the...
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't think
so. Okay.
Because
I was thinking,
I'm going to put a mask on him and sit him down there.
Well, because it can't just be anybody. It has to be someone who looks at something and understands what the...
Yeah.
I'm
not an engineer, but I understood the stuff I was looking at. You know, I looked at most of your foundation plans. They're in there in a giant stack. And most of the sewer plans. And some of them are kind of interesting to look at, but I did not find anything dealing with the spillway. The auxiliary spillway.
Do you think there's something in the basement?
I think they have to be in the QINC office because I didn't find them here in the three binders. Your binder started in like 2000 on in terms of what we saw here.
I mean, let us know what you need. I mean, the basement's always open for you to go down.
Oh, it's open for that.
And the worst case scenario is we have to go back to the Kansas State chief engineer who you should have filed all this stuff with over the years. But I hate to do that because I don't want to say, hey, we can't find our drawings.
We
lost all of our stuff.
There was a flood. Yeah, the secret flushed it away.
Yeah.
Okay. But don't hold up. I think crank it so people can see that something's moving forward. And again, the recommendation and our program, our plan is. We need to make this foundation, Inc., and city somehow coordinated, both in communication to the population and in activities of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And structure ownership of whatever we get done in a way that best protects our city.
Yeah, definitely think QINC and the city, as far as foundation, I know they're interested, especially in funding the study. I don't know how much further they want to go,
That's true.
It doesn't hurt to ask, so we'll talk about that too. So. All right, any questions for Bill?
I promise not to take more time each meeting.
No, that was fine.
No, that was good.
That was fine.
And Michelle and I are contracted.
We are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I accept that all of your contracts are more complicated than Bucket Beach's.
All right, John, you're up to speed with all this kind of.
To the extent the ceiling I have from an engineering capacity can handle, yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Tom, for putting up with him.
Yes. Thank you.
Better than most.
Oh, Lord.
He's great. We appreciate
that. Black and Beach is loaded with enormous wizards, and he is one of those wizards that was there. Correct, Gail?
Yes.
Yes.
I knew I recognized
him. I did. I didn't want to interrupt the conversation.
Just seeing eyes.
Yeah, just seeing eyes. It's hard.
All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Excused. You guys can go back to business.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. Moving on to consider approval of minutes from the October 5th meeting. Everybody have a chance to look those over? Thought Kathy did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm.
She did great, Kathy.
There are no changes. Entertain a motion.
I motion to approve the minutes from the October 5th City Council meeting.
Okay. There a motion. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Any seconds? Okay. Any discussion? Everybody good? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passes. All right. On to Aaron Lecky and the Treasurer's Report.
All right. For October, we were at 13.8% above budget for revenue. Brings us to 3.1% above for the year. We were way below budget for expenses. Brings us to 1.6% over budget for expenses for the year. The reason we were way below is because we got paid back from the county for the Opti project. So you can see that I will stop talking about why we are waiting for Opti, because now we're not, finally.
That's good.
Yes. Fairly quiet month. Not too much I wanted to point out. Couple things on page 4 of check detail. You'll see the payment for the masks, and then you'll see the payment for January through September for Foresight Solutions. And then page 1 of the deposit detail, the bank deposit on October 9th was when we were paid the $80,000-plus from Johnson County for Opti. We had one journal entry related to repayment of a building deposit, and I think that's about all I have. Like I said, quiet month.
I really didn't see a whole lot on there to question.
Did not have a lot.
Pretty happy with it. Anybody have any questions for Aaron? Would anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the Treasurer's Report for October.
Okay. Got a motion from Dave.
Second.
Second from John. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Joey, report passes.
Aye.
You said chicken. Okay, we already did, we kind of moved Bill up, but we did the SNAP report basically. Police Chief report, Fred is off tonight. He was co-workers, acquaintances with the Leavenworth sheriff that was killed in a car crash. So he's taking the night off and mentioned maybe sending flowers to the city. So that's whatever you need. So if you have any questions, he said you can email him, call him, and he'll be in tomorrow.
Can we get the police report?
I suppose so.
I couldn't find the.
I pulled it up on
that.
It's the third one down.
Yesterday, but then today.
Now it's not pulling up.
Do you mind?
I looked at it because there were about 7 or 8.
I printed it this morning.
Okay.
Huh? Something must have happened with the link.
I can go make a couple copies if anyone wants one.
I'm okay. Do you have questions on it?
Oh, I was just curious what was on it.
If you want to make a couple copies.
Yep.
All right.
On our new coffee machine?
That's right. Be back in 12 seconds.
Exactly. With a landscape, full color, 3D.
OK. Okay, city attorney's report. Michelle, do you have anything?
Yeah.
We'll talk about some stuff later, I'm sure. Okay. Like I said, I don't know if Greg's going to get here, but we'll move on to city council report. And start with you, Gail.
Gosh, I don't really have that much. I talked to Kelly Thompson this morning, and he was just given the survey of the parking lot and, you know, probably kind of the surrounding areas and all, and he hasn't had time to really go through that. But he will put together a design within the next 10 days, and that'll be presented at our next meeting.
Okay.
And which will include the parking lot, the configuration, the beds, the ADA, and the front of the building.
Okay. And then let's just keep in mind that, now I don't know what the plan is for the guardhouse. That I know you guys talked about at the board meeting briefly. So
yeah, it's a potential renovation, mostly really just inside the building.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more about what's happening inside that building than out right now.
Okay. Let's just make sure Dean gets a look at it and is aware of it.
Okay. Well, and I know that Todd is, I think he has caught wind of that. Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I kind of explained the project to him.
Yeah.
Because he'd be interested in the,
right,
in the beds, in the location, and how all that plays together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And the Shredded event, was that your project? Did you help with the flyer and everything?
No, Kathy.
Okay. Do we want to discuss that just so we don't have a repeat of the large item drop-off?
Sure.
I my mom is actually bringing stuff down to Shred, which I didn't even know she knew that was a capability. And so, again, I think because of COVID, I mean,
that's on record.
She doesn't even have email, so she would laugh, trust me.
Or Linda.
Yeah. So, I think obviously with the large items drop-off that you guys all have that fiasco, you know, COVID has people cleaning out junk, and I think it might be the same thing. The location is where it is, which might not be the best location, but we'll just see how it goes. But what are the plans as far as having people here? I've got a soccer game at 10 a.m.
Well,
right in the middle of it, but I can.
And I'll be here.
Okay.
Last year, there was no trouble with traffic at all, but
right.
I guess, just like we don't know what to anticipate tomorrow with the elections,
right,
and are preparing for the worst and hoping for the best, I think the same with this. If the traffic started getting jammed up, they would just have to loop around the guard house and come through, and the truck will be stationed there. There will be a worker to help them get their items from their car securely into the shred truck. They're not just stacking items. They're shredded on site.
Okay.
So they can be comforted about that. I just don't anticipate problems.
Okay.
So hope, and if I'm wrong,
would we want police just sort of heads up so they could help do the traffic in?
Yeah,
that
I was just going to say
most problematic. I would
find out what officer is on duty and talk to Fred ahead of time and just
yep.
say if there is a traffic issue. I think it is going to help that it's not a weekday, so we're not going to have a lot of contractors and coming in and out, so it should be a lot better. But just want to be safe. So, yeah. Well, thanks for doing that.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I've talked to several people that are just so excited about it. I'm serious.
Oh, great. I've talked to a lot of people,
yeah,
and we're really glad we are bringing it back.
Yeah, Julia and John Potter, you know, asked. They said, "Are you guys going to do that again?" I'm like,
yeah.
You know, John, you don't get to shred it yourself.
Like,
it's not a wood chipper, you know?
No, it could be like that thing at Kaleidoscope that you put the paper through
yeah.
and it comes out as a puzzle on the other side. Like,
Okay. Then
well,
sorry.
Yeah, that is. You and I already talked a little bit beforehand about the.
Yeah, so I met with Kent Gale. We're going to get the water bottle fillers that you see at, you know, City of Shawnee and all the, you know, sports complexes and stuff like that. They thought they had 75 on the shelves, but didn't realize that all 75 were sold. So he was able to pull a favor, and we're getting a really good price on it, in my opinion. And they came out and measured and did all that. So
And the plumber has in his family, the seven of them are all quarantined with COVID, but he can't talk to him today, and it'll be installed before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So if you guys see Kent, tell him thanks. Yeah. He came in to measure himself, and he's doing a lot of stuff himself. So, and thank you. So. Okay. Good. John?
All right, I've got a few things. One, Mayor's Christmas tree coordinated with the clubhouse. As you guys probably know, the Gobble Wobble was officially canceled on Thursday. However, I think there's quite a few grassroots efforts to have an unofficial Gobble Wobble, but there was a lot of conversation between Faith and the new chef, Cassidy?
Cassidy,
about is it appropriate or not to, regardless of how social distance something is or isn't, is it appropriate to promote a large gathering and, you know, and the sharing of food and drink and whatnot. And so...
But wait a minute. The only food that is at Gobble Wobble are the donuts that Bob Lee brought.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't do a very good job transitioning there. I moved. So Gobble Wobble's canceled officially. I'm moving on to now. So with that data point, moving on to Saturday night, you know, it kind of sends a mixed message when you got this canceled, you got this, and you got that. So basically the message I got from Faith was they want to stick to beverages only, and the clubhouse is going to send something out about encouraging reservations at the clubhouse. But basically, they don't want to, you know, create a promotion around this. And frankly, I agree with the conclusion they came to on that. It just doesn't feel like the right thing to do.
So we're still talking. Oh, you're not talking about anything. The real Gobble Wobble on Thanksgiving Day, where the clubhouse isn't open, that is not involved, and that you're saying that event has been canceled.
Correct.
The outside event where we all walk.
Correct.
Okay. And then we have the Saturday after, which is our Christmas tree lighting ceremony.
That was not a queuing decision, by the way, the Gobble Wobble.
Yeah, I think Doug was
whoever organized it.
Well, it's Bob Lee, and the odd thing is, because Bob Lee came over to our camp, has always wanted to take, he loves the Gobble Wobble. And so Bob Lee actually delivered a 2014 sweatshirt so that we could get the, and he was going to deliver the turkey Gobble Wobble guy, you know, that's on the sweatshirts. And we were going to, you know, try to promote that. And so, but somebody, so is it, are you saying it was Bob who's not doing, he just said we can't do it this year. And I know that Kent said, well, why? And so who's
my in understanding
who's
is
who's in charge of the,
well, I knew it wasn't QAnon.
It was Bob Lee and Pat.
But it is interesting.
It's just Pat Lee on Women of LQ. Just put, Bob started the Gobble Wobble Thanksgiving Day 1980. Due to COVID, the Gobble Wobble is canceled for 2020. Don't worry, it will return in 2021 for the 40th running of a fun Quivira event. Always better to be safe than sorry.
I think when Bob called me on this, and he referenced the triathlon being canceled and kind of sticking in line with that.
You mean the fun run?
But honestly, the triathlon involved had much more moving parts than this, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
and
I
the
missed,
food and
yeah,
the,
I mean,
yeah,
so
the gathering.
I
said
Bob
was
on the note last time, too. I haven't heard back, but I had the same thing. I'm like, if you guys need help, because I think we could do it safely.
Oh, great.
There's no reason why we couldn't.
I mean,
but
the
anyway.
Other thing that is just, you know, everybody, it's cold and everybody parks their car or brings their car, and I mean, you're hardly milling around. I mean, you're just there, and it goes.
Well, in my opinion, it's kind of like trick-or-treating. If you don't feel comfortable, then you can stay home. And if you want to go for a walk on Thanksgiving morning, we're, you know, kicking it off at 8:30. Not me.
Right, but and I, my understanding, or I feel like there's a lot of people that are basically saying, you know, we'll meet you down at the clubhouse at 9 o'clock, and we'll do this, and you know, Bob may not be there with a you know, a shotgun and a turkey suit, and there may not be donuts, but we can. Yeah, no, that's not a joke. That's a So, but I think the clubhouse very justifiably has to, you know, optics matter. And so here's, you know, kind of a Thanksgiving tradition that was canceled, right, wrong, or indifferent. And so anyway, the, I think the intent on Saturday night is just to say, they said they're going to prepare hot chocolate cider and an autumn sangria. And we have 34 mugs left, so we'll run those down, and the clubhouse will serve drinks in those mugs until they're gone, and then other glasses until they're gone. I don't think they're going to set up a shit bar. I think they just want to kind of say, hey, here's a way to do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know what we've done in the past to advertise it. I think... you know, it's something very simple. You know, in the past few years, we've tried to, you know, create a little more fanfare around it, and I just don't feel like that's the right thing to do if, no matter where you stand on, you know, the whole COVID, you know, whether you think it's a hoax or going to kill us all or, you know, anything in between, you know, for messaging purposes, I feel like we just... that, you know, just kind of taking a low, simple profile makes the most sense. And that's basically the conclusion that, that Faith came to when I think she talked, I don't know, she talked to you, Dean, but I know.
Actually, no, my head's been buried in the budget, so I'm kind of learning about this right now. And,
but I don't
disagree, but we just did the hayride and all that stuff. And I think as long as we're keeping things outside and socially distanced, that, you know, our concern is the party moving indoors.
And so, I don't, what have we done? I don't remember. Have we, it's just gone out in the Q News, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, but up until just a couple of years ago, it was associated with the Mother's Club holiday, the kids, you know, the kids thing. And so it wasn't until, I know the year I got on council, I think that there was a different function going on for Mother's Club. I don't even remember what it was, but Ben wanted to make it our own thing. And so that's when, you know, when I got involved in that. And I mean, really, last year was just the second year we had done it through the city. And we just posted something. I mean, we had there was probably a little, you know, I think a little flyer or whatever. And basically, the first year we associated with it was Saturday Night Fever. You know, and we all went inside, and remember we had kids and stuff sing. That didn't go over that well because they didn't really want to sing. But and then last year we had
like an orchestra or whatever, choir. Well, so I think this year it's just I'll get a note out to that'd be Lisa, right? Just have her put it in the Q News that says, hey, Mayor's Christmas tree, 6:30 on Saturday, whatever the Saturday after Thanksgiving is. You know, come, Brady's going to have a speech. He'll keep it under 45 minutes. and then something along the lines of hot, you know, autumn drink sponsored by the city of Lake Quivira, and just leave it at that.
Yeah, I think last year Ben had a kid help him kind of switch the lights on. Wasn't a long speech or anything like that. I think we wanted to get the clubhouse involved to get people to move in there, and that they had a special menu. But yeah, I don't think we need to promote that. But yeah, let's put it out there, and you know, people are in town, hopefully a little bit more so than years past. And
see what happens.
And they had prizes, because I remember getting up on the wall, and we had the clubhouse put out the risers like we have.
Yeah.
You know. And then we had contests on old facts about the city, you know, and then people got prizes for answering it correctly, and then everybody went into the clubhouse, and it was kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to avoid.
I think my thought process is, at least from my seat at the city level, we're in line with the clubhouse. Hopefully we get back to chaos and risers and prizes and all that next year, and it just feels a little irresponsible to promote that this year. And so that's kind of the mayor's Christmas tree update. I assume you'll be there.
Yep, I'll be there.
Okay. That always helps.
Yeah.
So
we still have the lights, and there is some sort of big breaker that
canopy lighting will line up the tree. The maintenance, Brandon, they would have the post and all of that they install like the day before. And we turn the tree on, and we probably still will this year since we're having the 3-day, the celebration with the luncheon and all that like we always do. But yeah, so Brandon,
I'll find out about it.
So do I need to follow up with anybody on the canopy lights?
No. That's
Garden Club does that. Okay.
Well, no, actually, we coordinated with all the other lights, but the city pays for the installation.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you're gonna make sure the lights are there, the breaker's there, it's decorated.
You make sure the mayor's there. I'll make sure Faith knows that we want hot chocolate cider and autumn sangria. And I will.
Sure Brandon knows.
And Brandon's group also, and I haven't, I'm assuming he probably knows this, but I haven't talked to him personally. There are special lights that go in the windows. There's a system that
I've seen the lights.
That they have made.
Yeah.
That they need to, because supposedly last year they almost weren't going to work.
I did ask about that already.
And the same with the security. So that all would be getting installed by the 18th of December.
Okay, great.
I mean,
November is what you mean. Yep.
November.
Soon. 2 weeks.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
All right, and Lisa's the right person to confirm that it goes out in Q News, correct?
Yes, he'll do an e-blast. Well, the newsletter just went out today, so we'll do an e-blast on it. We'll do a couple of e-blasts on it.
Yeah, okay.
And yes, is the answer to your question.
Okay.
And a message up on the message board.
Message on the message board. Have Kathy put it on our website, Facebook page. Yeah.
So, Kathy, you got that?
Yep.
Okay. The other two items I have, I believe, are both listed under old business. I could cover them now. I can cover them later.
Go ahead now.
Okay. So after a year's worth of talking and trial and tribulation and all that, Michelle sent over, and everybody should have a copy of it, the non-discrimination resolution. And so assuming people have had a chance to read it, I would make a motion that the city adopt a resolution for the city of Lake Revere condemning discrimination.
Second. Okay, I have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, motion for resolution. Do we have a number on it yet?
141.
141 passes.
All right, and then, awesome. Then,
actually, thank you for doing that and staying on top of it. I think it's important. I just think it shows a lot. Michelle, thanks for working on it. I'm fine with the idea of the resolution as opposed to the ordinance. That makes more sense. Thank you for explaining that to me. So appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, well, it was like chickens and dogs. There was a lot of talk, and we got to a resolution, pun intended. So. Anyway, then do we need to do anything on the contract for Foresight Solutions?
You'll need a motion on that just to approve that. And just so everybody understands, so Bill has had these task orders that come through each time. You all approve those, and that will continue. What we needed was the umbrella contract that spelled out what his responsibilities are in terms of indemnification, insurance, what happens if, you know, either he decides or we as a city decide not to continue the relationship. Just really needed to kind of dot some I's, cross some T's. He said he's done similar contracts with other communities in the past, so it wasn't a surprise to him when we kind of threw that out there. So that's really what this is. You will continue to see the individual task orders when he comes in and says, this is what I think it's going to cost us, is how many hours, and here's the details. So really, it's, I hesitate to call it formality, but it kind of is. It's just making sure we've got the protection from the city's perspective that we need when we're contracting with someone for professional services.
So you did add some things to this contract?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So pretty standard municipal protection type stuff. Is what's in there. So just again, wanting to make sure we're protecting the city. Not that we don't trust Bill, but certainly anytime you've got a contract for someone's ideas and work from a professional standpoint, I just want to make sure that the city's protected on that.
Yeah. Well, I think we're lucky to have Bill as a resident and a consultant. He's great. So.
Yeah, I as the dam consultant, I can't fathom trying to tackle that without him. He's awesome. I've talked to him about the agreement for consulting services. He feels good about it. I think part of the reason he left when he did, and he typically stays for the whole meeting or, you know, the bulk of it, but I don't think he wanted to be here when
he wanted to excuse himself.
Yes, so there wouldn't be any perceived conflict, but I know he feels good about it. I know Michelle feels good about it. And, I, as do I, so I would also make a motion that we adopt the agreement for consulting services as it's written.
For Foresight Solutions?
For Foresight Solutions.
Okay, we've got a motion by John, a second from Annie. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I was waiting for Aaron.
I will not say a word.
I was looking for beneficiary information. Lastly, I just wanted to, the feedback we got on the fireworks this summer was overwhelmingly positive, but typically I get pinged in December for the contract in January because they supposedly we get 10% extra product. Yeah, I've never taken inventory. But we usually wrap that up in January. So from my seat, now that the we've alleviated the drunk firework shooter from the mix, where this company seems to be doing a good job.
Okay.
And wanted to make sure that I was not alone in that thought. And so does anyone have any strong opinions?
That were awesome.
Okay.
They were great last year. I heard from everybody some of the best they've seen. So.
Well, good. I mean, there are some advantages to having someone drunk when they shoot them off because I could help the show. But I also feel like from a safety standpoint, we need to try to curtail that. So
appreciate that, John.
It's
more of
an opinion. Probably that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, some of my fireworks shows in my early 20s were pretty impressive. I'm not sober, but anyway, all right, well, I'll proceed with the using that same company, and I'll coordinate with you, Aaron. And didn't we add like an extra $1,000 or $2,000 in the budget for him? I feel like we've been trying to go up about $1,000 a year.
Yeah.
And we'll have leftover because the bigger Christmas tree this year. Well, I guess that's a different budget.
But. Different year, but
yeah.
So
good.
Okay.
I mean, that's more important than the team.
You know? Like, we can create springs with the fireworks, you know?
Can they spill things yet? Have we gotten to that point?
The last two mayors have said, do not mess up the fireworks.
That's what I
in the words of 90% of the citizens, they pretty much what we take care of here at the city.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't tell a soul on July 3rd that I'm responsible for them, but if everything goes well, I'll let them know on the 5th.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of how
so the John Christie parade will now be taking place on the 5th.
Anyway. All right. Well, then we'll proceed with that, and I believe that's everything on my agenda, other than, you know, I will continue to coordinate with Bill and on all of these things. And I think I again, out of order on the agenda here, but I have kind of talked to, Greg, I've talked to a lot of different citizens over the last month, and specifically at the Duck Derby, and I think everybody's in agreement that that whole area down there has a tremendous amount of potential and a tremendous amount of amenities, and so I appreciate Bill's creativity and passion for it, and we'll certainly try to do a good job as a city liaison to keep pushing that along.
Absolutely. I agree. All right. Thanks, John. Annie?
Wow, John, you're making me look really bad this month. I don't have a lot of updates. So a couple things. The tree ordinance, we did meet after the last council meeting, and didn't come to anything final, but we did kind of try and structure a little bit better, and really working with Dean was there, trying to make this more of a cooperative effort between the two, and that we address things, you know, through more formal, like we call them triggers, like through the construction permit application process, through the AR board, and so Dean and Jack are going to help in those areas because there is some stuff in there already that we can help sort of beef it up a little bit and help promote that more. So that's one angle. Then we're really talking more about coming at it from an educational standpoint. And so we're going to get together here again in the next week. We've loosely assigned some responsibilities, but there's some basic things we can do from, you know, I'm going to get much more engaged on the Tree City USA and work with Joe on that, meet with him, Joe Bartel, so that we can kind of just promote that more.
Yeah.
And then as new homeowners come on, Dean has agreed to pick up some of that, he hasn't agreed to put the marketing materials in together, but we are thinking about putting more things together so that there are more tools out there that we can just promote it, make people more aware.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'll be a hard and fast ordinance that comes out of this. I don't know if we want to go there because of the implications of who's going to manage it. We have to hire somebody to, you know, monitor all this. So I think, and I'm talking, you know, like I said, we've only met once, so we need to kind of keep moving here. But that was my takeaway, was that it was going to be more, let's approach it from this angle first and work the things that we have out there. And then if we need to do something more, we will. But I personally don't see this as being like a full, like if you look at some of the tree ordinances, they're very detailed and they're very, very intense from a management perspective.
Well, and cities have the entire parks department.
There are a couple requirements that, you know, Tree City does require of the city, and Aaron and I have kind of communicated a little bit on this, and it just has to do with, like, tree board. There's just certain annual things. Again, it's not the level you're talking about, all these requirements and management and everything, but there are some things that we should be doing to maintain that Tree City designation. So through your process, you know, we might want to just kind of tighten that up a little bit.
I would like to, Michelle. So can you guys send me whatever you have? But I would like, I'll get with Joe Bartel. He's been the most closest, but I would like to just get that all tightened up a little bit more.
And I think we do have some things that when the city first became Tree City, I think we probably did put some things in place. And so it's just making sure everything's updated and we're really following through with that. So, you know, certainly I'll pull that up and see if we have them. Aaron's going to talk with some people as well, just to make sure we understand what our responsibilities are so we can continue that designation, because you don't want to lose that.
Yeah, no. And I mean, my initial view of that was that we weren't meeting. Like you said, Michelle, there were some very obvious things that I didn't think that we would meet. So, okay, so that I think is a good piece of that. There was another item that Betsy Vosman's on the committee, and she had brought up something a couple years ago. It didn't go off and take off, but it was, she approached the council about having a per resident fee that we would charge as part of a tree fund every year, being like a $2 per person fee that we would start to accumulate funds, and then those are only to be used for tree, you know, like whether it's plantings or removing or whatever it was, to just help kind of maintain this focus. So I'm not prepared to present anything tonight, but I thought that was kind of an interesting idea if we really wanted to try and pursue that. So I just wanted to
talk. I don't remember that. Do you remember that, Aaron?
Yeah, and we added, we moved our Tree City line was always at $25.
Yeah.
And it was after Betsy came to that meeting that we moved it up to $2,000. So that the $25 is paid to the Arbor Day Foundation as like what the suggested donation for the city is. And the rest of it is supposed to be used for new plantings.
And
which this year we used.
Yeah,
this year we haven't used all of it, but we did use, let me get the exact number, 1,150, and I think that was all related
to
the...
Okay, so there's Tree City, right, and then of course we own the gas station island.
Yeah.
And so all of the trees that...
Still, we didn't designate it having to be just anywhere in the city.
Yeah.
And so I think the 1150 was
the
gas station island.
Put on, you know, the golf course and all the other places. I mean, that's, you know, the memorial fund and all of that. I'm assuming the Tree USA kind of the rules regarding all of that in choices and when you take trees out. And I mean, just all the stuff I'm assuming covers all the QE property. And,
oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
In our
yes.
And I don't think the Tree USA designation goes to that level. That's more of an ordinance scale that you're talking about.
Yeah.
This designation is much broader, but you have to meet certain, like you have, I don't know, have certain events and do different things. And
yeah.
So it, I agree with your comment, though. It is broader than just the city. I mean, it is. So anyway, I think we need to explore that a little bit further, but we just don't have enough data points yet. Here, so.
And one thing, Eric Johnson cornered me, and he's like, I mean, if you have like a little committee or other people that you'd like to talk to, he's very into this as far as his feelings about trees.
Okay.
And so you might make a note for lack
he's
of.
He's a tree hunter.
He's a tree hunter.
Yeah, so that's what we did when, when Betsy came.
Okay.
We didn't have an actual fund for new planting, so instead of creating a brand new budget line item, we added it to Tree City. Yep.
Okay.
So we do have some more money if the committee decides they want to invest in a couple new trees.
See what
that is. And then my other item with the cameras, and I just have not had an opportunity, so I'll kick in, I promise, Mayor.
No, that's fine. We're still working on some of the CARES funding and getting bids for this, you know, council chambers and the HVAC stuff, and I don't know if that'll fall into it. I don't even know if we're going to be able to do everything that we want to do, but we'll get into that under my report. So.
Yeah, because my action item from that was to just work up a document that we can present to you guys. So that's
yeah.
Fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dave.
Chicken ordinance looks like January.
Yeah.
Okay. So hold off on those Christmas chickens.
Yeah.
just coordination with queuing, I think, is what kind of what we're down to.
And planning commission.
And the planning commission. Yeah. With the fuel station, got our measuring stick, been measuring the tanks, you know, periodically, but I'm missing two key points from Terry. I had a good conversation with him. It was all text, but it was very. You know, he wants to be more, he asked if I could communicate with him more about where we are in the process, because I think he wants to just make sure he's aware of everything that's going on, and that's totally fair. He's been very, I try to be very transparent with him. He's been very honest with his communication back. So I think, you know, just getting these last two pieces together, I'm updating the spreadsheet that Kathy uses, so when we input the tank levels every day, that she's able to just pull the key data points off of that and do the manual data entry that the state requires. So I think it's looking good.
Yeah.
Then we'll start getting some actual numbers in place about what the wholesale cost is for the fuel, how much it's pumped out.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, like I said last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever we met, no reason to rush this thing. So
yeah.
Let's do our diligence and see where it goes.
It's kind of fun to measure the tanks.
Yes.
It's very analog. So it's kind of so it's not that bad. And then with waste management, couple just community feedback type of things. You know, a couple people just flagged me down and, you know, hollered at me and said that they thought the odors were bad. I encouraged them to make the phone calls. I called Mike Hay, and I talked to him for quite a while about this. And I told him that, you know, when somebody does have an odor complaint and they send their engineer out, a lot of people just say, yeah, I'm standing right next to him. I can smell it, and he says he can't. And I said, it seems like he's just desensitized. And he said, this may sound crazy, but, you know, younger women have a much better sense of smell than older men. You know, so he's training a new person to keep the nose that comes out here. It's a younger woman. So, you know, they are, you know, so that matters. You know, that's feedback we can give people. That you guys understand that there's frustration when, you know, you have the odor, somebody comes out and says, I don't smell anything. It's arbitrary, you know. So I told him that helps, and please keep sending us that information.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah. It's
curious about that interview process.
Yeah.
Is it discriminatory against older men?
I know. Yes. Yeah. Did you see my nose? I can't. But I do think that relationship is good. You know, and Amy called me with some feedback somebody had about the gold on the lake, and they thought it was related to the landfill. So I reached out to Michael Cooper.
And I liked your post.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep it light, and but you know, it is a migratory bird, and there may be more around here because there is a food source nearby the landfill. But they are migratory and they'll leave. So hopefully that.
And we just the water.
No, I did. I liked it, and it was very informative. I told my kids about it because they've been asking about them. So.
Yeah, I had to kind of pull myself away from Michael when he was explaining all the detail about it. He knows so much about
it. You kind of set yourself up for that one.
It's amazing. But he, you know, because somebody said, can we just get rid of them? And I asked him, I know you can't just get rid of one animal and not have it affect a bunch of them. He said, yeah, you get rid of them. We don't have eagles. We don't have these other birds that come by. You know, it's just.
I enjoy looking at them.
Yeah. So I don't mind them.
What are they?
One of these things.
Like gulls, just gulls.
Land on the lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there are hundreds of them, thousands of them. It's crazy.
It's fun to get your boat out and just drive right down.
He told Dave that they come here for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And there might be different types of species.
There's the Franklin gull.
It's always usually around this time of year with the weather change. And,
They're heading south.
I mean, it was covered the other day on one side of the lake.
Yeah, a bunch of winged retirees.
Yeah.
So I guess the takeaway is that's you know, I think the impact of the landfill, it's the communication is better, and we're seeing some response from them that I think is positive.
Yeah. So, me too.
So that's all I did. That's pretty much all I had.
Okay. Good deal. Thank you, Dave.
Yep.
Okay, mayor's report. I will try and make this quick. Congratulations, Annie, on the marriage of your daughter. Yeah, I'm one to go.
Yes, it was great. Clubhouse team, the team did awesome. So
thank you. Yeah.
It was good.
Good.
So thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, Kim.
That's why I didn't get anything done.
No, hey. Kim was at the board meeting and said the same thing to Dean and the staff. So
it was good.
Good to hear. Aaron and I and Kathy and Michelle and Fred had lunch at the clubhouse, and then Aaron and I gave Michelle and Kathy a long overdue tour of Lake Lanier. To actually point out, these are the dumpsters we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is the Dale Spillway, and you know, this is the Duck Bill Project. We're going to try and do it a couple times a year, maybe more.
Show the Q&A basement.
Anyway, that was fun. Like I said, long overdue. Ever-G tree trimming. I know we reported last month that they were going to start in October. They had pushed it back to December.
I saw them in Shawnee the past couple days.
Yeah.
It looks like they're working their way.
Yeah.
North.
That makes sense. So.
And I reached out to one of them, and she came. The girl came.
Oh, good.
So I'm just going to say, if you guys have any or any.
If there is a problem, they said that.
They've already mapped things out, and then you can call her, and she came right out. She was awesome.
Okay. So yeah, Dean, if you get any phone calls about that, they move it to her number.
Yep.
Brittany
Reed. Rebecca's the one who Grady and Kathy and I have been in contact, but.
Okay. Obviously, tomorrow is election day. We're open here from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Talked with Fred about just the parking situation. There's going to be 11 poll workers driving 11 vehicles, I would assume. Hopefully something carpool. Two of them are residents, so we don't have to worry about them. But Dean was kind enough to let them park up in the clubhouse parking lot. I'm just imagining 7:30, 8 a.m., people leaving here that want to vote here.
Yep.
Contractors coming in, could be a mess. Fred's also, you know, not that we think anything's going to happen, but Fred is a little more alert, so hopefully that goes well.
I've talked to him as well. I got an email from Johnson County with a recap of what they update they had given their sheriffs, and just kind of passed that information along to him.
Yeah.
Of what.
Well, the head election judge for this side or this area has been in once and contacted Kathy once or twice, and yeah, he's a little concerned, even though we all think nothing's going to happen, but better all be prepared. So
no concern, but I guarantee you at 6:30 tomorrow morning I'm going to get a phone call with someone with a sign. So
yeah,
tell your friends and neighbors no signs around a voting place.
Just to
always happens without fail.
Hit on the Duck Derby, you know, the city donated a kind of a gift package. It was a great event. Like John said, there's just so much interest from people that we talked to, and I thought it was, you know, well attended. We raised $7,500. It was a lot of fun. It was a good day. Just overall, just a neat thing. So anyway, the CARES update as far as the CARES funding. We've purchased, you know, the masks, the new, tumblers, sanitizer. We've got the automatic dispensers there and on the gas station. We've got Clorox, we've got gloves. We've got most of the little stuff. We're getting a
thermometer, first aid kit.
Yep.
Kathy's done all of that.
Yep. We got a report from SKC, which is a resident of Lake Vera, and they basically spec'd out this room with microphones, camera, monitors, but they're just too busy right now to supply us with the equipment and to do it before the first of the year. So we've got the list of what we need, but now it's our job, our responsibility to find vendors that can do it, preferably a turnkey vendor that can do it. So I've got a meeting with Teague Electric, who helps with the community center. Dave also got a bid on that. We've got two bids for the HVAC systems. But we really can't make a decision until we figure out how much the work in the council chambers is going to be before we decide on the HVAC stuff. So when I talked to Teague, they assured me that they could easily get it done by the end of the year. The only thing that would hold them up is if something is back ordered, but like Aaron said, you know, if something's back ordered and we have to pay for it after January 1st, so be it. So hopefully we have a firm bid at the next council meeting. So that's about where we are there. Did I leave anything out as far as the...
I've gotten two bids for automating the doors, which would take care of... becoming ADA compliant for our handicap entrance, and then also being able to have less contact on an actual door handle.
Yeah. So imagine, you know, the silver ADA wheelchair that opens up. So once we get all that stuff together, we'll see how much money we have left, see what we can do, and go from there. But it's been a pretty good deal for us. So anyway.
But yeah, the summary of the projects that are currently working on is the water fountain with the help of Kent and Gail, the automated doors, the HVAC, And then the council chambers.
Yep. And I don't know if you guys saw the city of Overland Park. They're going to spend $350,000 putting cameras up at the Shield Soccer Complex, which is a great complex. And the idea was they were going to be able to stream the games live to keep people from
coming.
I mean, I'm out there almost every weekend, and you go out there and you sit next to people. You have masks on, but there's lots of people out there. But where they kind of messed up, they were going to charge a fee for this subscription so people could watch the games.
Yeah.
And a few people got wind of it, and they ended up reversing that charge. So, yeah, so like I said, we can't get crazy with what we're asking for, and I don't think we are.
No.
We just don't want any kind of press like that.
Yeah. I did run my GPS mapping through it, and that did get denied.
Did it really?
So, it did. Which I was not shocked about because they did find evidence that we had discussed it pre-COVID, so that was one of the things. And then the other is most of the time with COVID sicknesses, it's not something that requires a quick, like getting there quicker is not really going to make that big of a difference for that. So. But we are still proceeding forward with it as it is still an important project.
Yeah. There is... some interest in a new Lake Quivira newspaper, whether it's called the Quivira, whether it's called the Breeze or something new. Eric and Dean and I have met about it. We kind of all agree that the city and QE want to be on the same page. I don't even know how soon this is going to take off. We don't have any sort of, you know, proposals really set in stone, but we'll continue to meet and talk about it. And if it's a right forum and the right staff and they have input from the city and the Inc. and you know, stuff like that, then it makes sense. I think a lot of people would still like to see a local newspaper as long as it's the right local newspaper. So we'll keep you up to date on that.
Is there anybody that has agreed in principle to sort of take that on, any residents?
It's Kathy Finland Simpson, but she has stated multiple times she does not want to do it herself. She needs staff, she needs funding. So, you know, the idea of having a subscription, so if somebody doesn't want the Quivira paper, they don't have to pay for it, which I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But she's busy right now and has a lot to take on, and she wants to get the right people in place. So we'll just see where it goes. But I will keep you guys in the loop on that. One other thing that I was thinking of, and you kind of touched on with the Tree City package or, you know, information. You know, we had a resident that moved in and they didn't realize that there was a breed ban on pit bulls. And so what do you guys think of having a city package? Because we don't meet the residents when they come in ever. QAnk does, but I think it'd be important for, you know, for QAnk to be able to say here, just so you know, there you do live in a city, you know. So I don't know what we can include in there, but Tree City stuff, dog stuff, you know, yeah, chickens, and make a nice folder and just some documents and kind of go from there. So
I think even maybe just.
Betsy had a document at our tree meeting that was like a grid, what city, what, I mean, and anyway, I think I'll try and get a hold of that because it was like, I don't even know what the initial intent of it, but I had been thinking about that. It would just be something easy that we could say city, and I'm sure there has been stuff that's been created like that before.
I think so.
Yeah, that was a great doc. It was who do you call?
Yeah.
So it's what
trash.
You need is city.
That's
what you need is community.
Yeah.
That was a great document that we're going to start using in orientation.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Well,
Brady construction information would be great to put in there too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people always get confused and they're like, oh, well, I called QAnk and they told me I was good. And we're like, yeah, but we have ours as well. So.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I don't know who put it together, but because I just went through the whole ARB and did that.
Mm-hmm.
And having done it 7 years ago, it is infinitely better spelled out, laid out, and, you know, here's this, and if you want to put
lots of trials and tribulations is how that came about, but
like, that same thing for just kind of general questions. Do I register my dog with the city or with Q-Wing? If my hamburger was served cold, do I call the city or Q-Wing?
Yeah.
You know, those city kinds of things. That, you know, just
watch it.
Like, lay all that out, kind of like the construction is. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Andy, is that something you want to look into?
I've got to call in Becky, so I'll see if we can get that initially.
That'd be good.
And then maybe you and I and Aaron and Fred can talk about some stuff and get input from Q-Inc. And
it doesn't even have to be that big of a document.
No,
it's just kind of like some bullet things more information. Yeah. But just like the, because people aren't going to read. If it's too big, they're not going to read anything.
Yeah.
100%, yep.
I did not know that I had to register my dog until I started working for the city. Not gonna lie. So I think a lot of people move out here, and that's not something if you're not used to doing that.
Right.
And the same on our side, when somebody comes in and is interested in, wants to know about the community, houses that are for sale or where things like that would be nice for me to be able to provide that information in both ways.
We don't have folders down here that you're giving it up from a marketing standpoint?
No one has ever given us anything, and we've asked about it.
Thank you.
I've actually gone to Lisa and just said, hey, can you give me a handful?
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that thing.
That would be great, because we get a lot of
people. It'll be a little bit. We just ran out of folders, so I got folders on the way. But when we get them, yes, you will have.
I'm a year and a half in, and it's just starting to make sense. You know, for someone that doesn't live here, the differences
really
between the two entities. So, really.
Okay, good. All right. That's all for me. Any new business? I think we went over some new business already. Thanks, Dean.
Thank you, Dean.
Any reason for an executive session?
I wanted to ask one quick question on the augmenting of the doors. Since this is technically our handicap entrance, this is the door that we're for sure automating. Do we want the other one as well, since that's the more high contact door?
I guarantee you, as soon as we touch this parking lot, that ADA thing has to move.
Perfect. So both.
And I know the plan will show it being at the main door.
Okay. Awesome.
So you're saying both, or just the main door?
No, it'd just be the main door.
So will people come over here for meetings on that?
Well, there would be the parking, the handicapped park. Well,
I think you technically, not to put a complete wrench in your plans, but I believe since we are a polling location, I believe you have to keep the entrance to the polling location as handicap accessible.
Oh, okay.
But we may eventually have then two handicap accessible entrances.
Yeah.
So good, then that answers my question. So we'll just do both.
So you can't direct those people through the other. I mean, you're giving them access. I guess it just seems like a duplicative expense if you've got.
You could still send them through this way to come in.
It's always open though during voting. Is that door always unlocked? Not business hours. I mean, polling.
No, but I do think that the workers will leave it open. I'm pretty sure.
The restaurant is open.
No, you're talking about the main front door. So tomorrow at 6 a.m. when the poll workers are here and Kathy's not, is the front door going to be unlocked? That front door over there.
Honestly, that's a good question. I know that's how they will get in, whether or not they'll relock that.
Because your office is locked anyway.
Right. All that's locked up. I think last year or during the primary it was left open.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Well, Aaron, maybe, because we'll have Kelly's plan as far as, for next month.
If you get it before that, you share it with me and let me know? Okay.
I know his plan is because this ramp, this ADA ramp and all that is not really ADA. It's all
right.
It's not right.
Yes.
And that where the space, where it really needs to be is at the other you know, but if we have to have...
Gotcha.
Maybe a spreadsheet. You can look at the code.
I will, and I'll check with the... Okay, no, well, not this week, but maybe next week or the week after, I'll check with the voting office and see if they need a separate entrance or if they can...
I can ask them that question tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep.
If any of them know that. But, yeah.
All right. No need for an executive session. Have a, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
All right. A motion to adjourn. A second.
Second.
Gail seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All opposed? All right. Motion to adjourn.
It's too bad Greg wasn't here because that